Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. In Iran, more than 10,000 people have been detained and over 500 killed during the country's protests that began 2 weeks ago. That's according to the U.S.-based Human Rights Activists News Agency. The death toll includes both demonstrators and security forces. People have taken to the streets to protest the country's weakening economy. Meanwhile, Iranian state television today showed images of pro-government demonstrators in Tehran following a broadcast of statements all morning from Iranian government, security, and religious leaders urging people to attend the demonstration.
President Donald Trump said late Sunday that his administration was in talks to set up a meeting with Tehran, but cautioned that he may have to act first as reports mount of increasing deaths and the government continues to arrest protesters.
Yesterday, the leaders of Iran called. They want to negotiate. I think they're tired of being beat up by the United States. Iran wants to negotiate, yes.
With reporters on Air Force One, Trump adds, "We'll hit them at levels that they've never been hit before, and they won't even believe it. I have options that are so strong." Iran did not acknowledge Trump's comments immediately. It has previously warned the U.S. military and Israel would be legitimate targets if America uses force to protect demonstrators. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Iran's parliament speaker is warning that the U.S. military and Israel would be legitimate targets if the U.S. strikes the Islamic Republic over the ongoing protests over Iran's economic situation. With the internet down and phone lines cut off, those abroad fear that the information blackout is emboldening hardliners within Iran's security services to launch a bloody crackdown. In social media posts, President Donald Trump has offered Iranian protesters his support. Yesterday, the U.S. State Department warned Iran not to play games with Trump, saying that when he says he'll do something, he means it. The New York Times and Wall Street Journal have reported that Trump has been given military options for a strike on Iran, but has not made a final decision. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
In Los Angeles, an incident was reported at a protest in support of the Iranian people.
Protesters tried to attack a driver after a truck sped through an Iran demonstration in Los Angeles. Los Angeles police responded after somebody drove a U-Haul box truck down a street crowded with marchers demonstrating in support of the Iranian people. Protesters scrambled out of the way and then tried to attack the driver. The truck was stopped blocks away and surrounded by police cars. ABC 7 helicopter footage showed officers keeping the crowd at bay as demonstrators swarmed the truck, throwing punches at the driver. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass.
There are protests happening on a variety of different issues, and we want to make sure that Angelenos use their First Amendment right, exercise your First Amendment right, but always exercise your First Amendment right peacefully.
The police department said one man was detained and that no one was seriously injured. Los Angeles is home to the largest Iranian community outside of Iran. Audio courtesy of ABC 7 Los Angeles. I'm Haya Panjwani.
A suspicious object prompted a detour for President Trump's motorcade as he was headed to Palm Beach International Airport in Florida yesterday. The White House did not describe the object, which was discovered during security sweeps ahead of his arrival. This is AP News. The man known for taking Speaker Nancy Pelosi's podium during the Capitol riot is running for office.
Adam Johnson, known for grabbing Nancy Pelosi's podium during the Capitol riot, is running for a county office in Florida. Johnson filed to run as a Republican for the Manatee County Commission on the fifth anniversary of the January 6th riot and says that the timing was intentional to generate buzz. He pleaded not guilty to entering a restricted building during the riot and served 75 days in prison. Johnson is not the only person implicated in the events of that day to run for office. At least three ran unsuccessfully for Congress in 2024 as Republicans. Now, however, there are signs that the Republican Party is welcoming back more people who were convicted of January 6th offenses after President Donald Trump pardoned them. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney is visiting China this week to mend relations with the world's second largest economy. A Chinese spokesperson, Mao Ning, announced the upcoming visit in Beijing, saying that the visit will be the first visit to China by a Canadian prime minister in 8 years. Carney is seeking to double non-U.S. exports over the next decade to reduce Canada's reliance on the United States, as relations between the U.S. and Canada have soured under President Donald Trump. Other countries, such as Australia and Britain, are also seeking to improve ties with China. The European Union says they have agreed on steps towards resolving their dispute over the bloc's imports of Chinese-made electric vehicles, issuing a guidance document. Prediction markets let people wager on a growing list of future events, anything from a basketball game to the outcome of a presidential election. And recently, the downfall of former Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. That event is drawing renewed scrutiny into the murky world of speculative 24/7 transactions. Last week, an anonymous trader pocketed more than $400,000 after betting that Maduro would soon be out of office. The bulk of that trader's bids on the platform Polymarket were made mere hours before President Donald Trump announced the surprise nighttime raid that led to Maduro's capture. While there was previous speculation about Maduro's future, those bids are fueling online suspicions of potential insider trading because of the timing of the wagers and the trader's narrow activity on the platform. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The government of Cuba is bracing for potential widespread unrest as the arrest of Cuba ally Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro by the U.S. has resulted in shipments of Venezuelan oil to Cuba being cut off. President Donald Trump says on social media that Cuba has long lived on Venezuelan oil and money and had offered security in return. But in capital letters, Trump wrote, "Not anymore." Trump writes, "There will be no more oil or money going to Cuba, zero." And he says, "I strongly suggest they make a deal before it's too late." Trump did not explain what kind of deal. Cuba says 32 of its military personnel were killed during the U.S. operation to capture Maduro. The U.S. Central Command released a video of U.S. military aircraft taking off right before the new airstrikes on Syria Saturday afternoon Eastern Time. Retaliatory strikes targeted the Islamic State group following last month's ambush that killed 2 U.S. soldiers and a U.S. civilian interpreter in the country. Jordan says its military joined the U.S. in Saturday's strikes. The U.S. Central Command issued a statement saying, "Our message remains strong. If you harm our warfighters, we will find you and kill you anywhere in the world, no matter how hard you try to evade justice."
When immigrants are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up like that!
Protesters have taken to the streets this weekend after a federal officer shot and killed a woman in Minneapolis and another shot and wounded 2 people in Portland, Oregon.
"We were there to tell Mayor Keith Wilson that if he does not act soon, someone in Portland is going to die."
Exactly!
And then what happened?
In Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Frey says most demonstrations have been peaceful.
"I have seen community members sort of step into the breach, recognizing that there are others out there, agitators that are trying to rile up large crowds."
The Department of Homeland Security is pushing forward in the Twin Cities with what it calls its biggest ever immigration enforcement operation. The Trump administration says both shootings were acts of self-defense against drivers who weaponized their vehicles to attack officers. I'm Donna Warder.
Video was released of the moments before and after Renee Good was shot and killed by an ICE agent in Minneapolis. The video was taken by another ICE agent who walks up to Good, who is in the driver's seat of her SUV.
"That's fine, dude.
Hey,
I'm not mad at you.
Show your face.
I'm not mad at
it's
you.
Okay,
the other person speaking is Good's wife, Becca, who was also recording video.
"You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy.
Go ahead. Out of the car."
Renee Good is told repeatedly to get out of the SUV. She moves forward before Becca Good can get back in.
"Get out of the car."
Becca Good says the couple had stopped their car to support their neighbors, and they had whistles, while the masked agents had guns. Trump administration officials have painted Renee Good as a domestic terrorist. Her wife says Good left a legacy of kindness. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison wants the state to be part of the investigation into the shooting death of Renee Good by an ICE agent in Minneapolis. The Department of Homeland Security claims the shooting was in self-defense. Ellison says there's too much evidence that still needs to be evaluated.
What we're doing here is asking the public who may have video. There may be people who were on the scene who saw what happened, who have some type of evidence that they feel bears on what the truth is in this case.
The Trump administration wants to keep the investigation in federal hands. Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty says
there are complex legal issues involved when a federal law enforcement officer is involved. But the law is clear. We do have jurisdiction to make this decision.
The Trump administration has claimed the agent has legal immunity. I'm Ed Donahue.
President Donald Trump says he wants a one-year, 10% cap on credit card interest rates by January 20th, reviving a campaign pledge to save Americans tens of billions of dollars. Trump posted on social media that he will no longer let the American public be ripped off by credit card companies that are charging interest rates of 20 to 30%. The proposal is drawing immediate opposition from an industry that has typically been in the president's corner. Researchers who studied Trump's campaign pledge after it was first announced found that Americans would save roughly $100 billion in interest a year if credit card rates were capped at 10%, and found that while the credit card industry would take a major hit, it would still be profitable, although credit card rewards and other perks might be scaled back. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
In a statement Friday night, Greenland Prime Minister Jens Frederik Nielsen and four party leaders said, "We don't want to be Americans. We don't want to be Danes. We want to be Greenlanders." President Donald Trump once again said on Friday that he'd like to make a deal to acquire Greenland, a semi-autonomous region that's part of NATO ally Denmark. And he said,
I would like to make a deal, you know, the easy way. But if we don't do it the easy way, we're going to do it the hard way.
Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen has said that an American takeover of Greenland would mark the end of NATO. I'm Donna Warder.
President Trump is urging oil executives to rush back into Venezuela in a bid to revive America's ability to tap into vast petroleum reserves. The president's trying to secure $100 billion in private investments in Venezuela while hosting more than a dozen oil company executives at the White House.
One of the reasons you couldn't go in is you had no guarantees, you had no security, but now you have total security.
He assured them they will not have to tangle with Venezuelan authorities.
You're dealing with us directly. You're not dealing with Venezuela at all. We don't want you to deal with Venezuela.
The meeting came hours after the U.S. seized a fifth tanker linked to Venezuelan oil over the past month, reflecting a Trump push to fully control the nation's petroleum. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Thousands of nurses at several major New York City hospitals have gone on strike after negotiations through the weekend failed to yield a breakthrough. The union says about 15,000 nurses are participating in the strike. The strike is hitting during a severe flu season and could potentially force hospitals to transfer patients, cancel procedures, or divert ambulances. It could also put a strain on city hospitals not involved in the contract dispute, as patients avoid the medical centers hit by the strike. Among the nurses' demands are manageable workloads and more workplace security. Hospitals say the union's demands are too costly. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Clay County, Mississippi Sheriff's Office says in a Facebook post that multiple innocent lives were lost in the town of West Point near the Alabama border. It said a suspect was in custody and that there was no threat to the community. Sheriff Eddie Scott told WTVA that six people were killed in three locations. Scott's statement said, "I ask that you lift our victims and their families in your prayers." I'm Donna Warder.
More than 40 men and women, as well as their supporters, are participating in a cycling event organized by the Wounded Warrior Project. The ride through the Keys started Friday and runs through the weekend. The CEO of Wounded Warrior Project, Walt Hyatt.
So a lot of people today, but the focus is really on the 45 warriors because this ride is for them. This is part of their therapy. It is a bike ride, but it's really not that. It's really the therapy about getting them connected, getting them outside in a beautiful place like the Keys. and get them along their path of healing.
Veteran Bill Hansen says he enjoys the ride in spite of the pain.
I wake up in pain every single day. I've gotten used to a level of pain. And so doing physical fitness things like this, I know I'm going to be in a little bit of pain, but it's worth it for my mental health and for just my camaraderie with other vets.
After a Pennsylvania man was arrested this week for stealing more than 100 human skulls, mummified hands and feet, two decomposing torsos, and other skeletal items, including one with a pacemaker still attached. Christy Cole went to the Mount Moriah Cemetery on the outskirts of Philadelphia to make sure that her family's grave had not been desecrated.
So they're all in the ground, and it seems like everybody that has been desecrated is in a mausoleum and above ground.
Cole was shocked by the case.
It aches. It's yucky. I mean, anybody finding out, we think that, you know, we're going to rest in peace and be okay there, and I mean,
Cole is still trying to remain positive.
It's their landing space of their body, not their soul. So there's peace in that, but it hurts.
A huge black bear has finally been evicted from a crawl space under a Los Angeles area house where it had been living since Thanksgiving. Surveillance video shows the bear tearing away screening and squeezing through a small opening. Ken Johnson says the animal twisted gas lines and toppled bricks. California wildlife officials tried air horns and shooting paintball guns, but the bear would not budge. So Johnson turned to Bear League, a nonprofit that says it specializes in living in harmony with bears. One of its experts climbed into the crawl space behind the bear and encouraged it to leave. Then they put out an electric unwelcome mat to shock the bear into staying away. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks rose to more records on Wall Street following a mixed report on the job market. The S&P 500 climbed 0.6% Friday. The index topped its prior all-time high set earlier in the week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 237 points. That's about 0.5%. The Dow also set its own all-time high. The Nasdaq Composite rose 0.8%. Treasury yields were mixed in the bond market following the jobs update. The report could delay another cut to interest rates by the Federal Reserve, but doesn't rule it out. The Labor Department said employers hired fewer workers than expected last month. The unemployment rate was better than forecast. Seth Sutel, New York.
General Motors will be hit with charges of about $6 billion in its fourth quarter after sales of electric vehicles have sputtered when the U.S. cut tax incentives to buy them and also eased auto emission standards. The new charges follow an announcement in October that the Detroit automaker would take a $1.6 billion charge for the same reason. Automakers are forced to reroute ambitious plans to convert their fleets to electric power. The clean vehicle tax credit was worth $7,500 for new EVs and up to $4,000 for used ones. The EV tax credit ended in September. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Hamnet and One Battle After Another took the top honors at the Golden Globes. The up-for-sale Warner Brothers dominated the awards. Paul Thomas Anderson's ragtag revolutionary saga One Battle After Another and Chloe Zhao's Shakespeare drama Hamnet took top honors at Sunday's 83rd Golden Globes. While the Globes have a tradition of spreading the wealth around, Anderson became just the second filmmaker to ever sweep Best Film, Best Director, and Best Screenplay.
You guys are being so generous with this affection for me and this film, and I'll take it.
Timothée Chalamet won his first Golden Globe for Marty Supreme. Sinners won for Best Score and Cinematic and Box Office Achievement. Golden Globe Awards clips provided by Golden Globes LLC and Dick Clark Productions LLC. A rare copy of the comic book that introduced the world to Superman has sold for millions. The comic book copy that was once stolen from the home of actor Nicolas Cage has been sold in a private deal for a record-breaking $15 million. That eclipses the previous record set last November when a copy of Superman No. 1 was sold at an auction for $9.12 million. The Action Comics No. 1 sale was negotiated by Manhattan-based Metropolis Collectibles, Comic Connect, which said the comic book's owner and the buyer wished to remain anonymous. The comic sold for 10 cents when it came out in 1938 and marks the beginning of the superhero genre. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. The defending Super Bowl champions have been eliminated after the 49ers' 23-19 win over the Eagles in an NFC wildcard matchup. Brock Purdy tossed two touchdowns and a go-ahead four-yard TD to Christian McCaffrey with 2:54 remaining.
At the end of the day, it's a fourth quarter game and you got to go score for the season and for your team.
Niners All-Pro tight end George Kittle tore his right Achilles tendon in the loss. Josh Allen had three scores in the Bills' 27-24 AFC wildcard win over the Jaguars. Drake May won his playoff debut in the Patriots' 16-3 win over the Chargers. NBA Anthony Edwards' late runner against Victor Wembanyama lifted the Timberwolves over the Spurs 104-103. And MLB, the Cubs signed three-time All-Star third baseman Alex Bregman for 5 years and $175 million. The NCAA has denied Mississippi's request to extend the eligibility of Trinidad Chambliss. The Rebels' star quarterback finished his fifth year of college football in a 31-27 loss to Miami in the college football playoff semifinals on Thursday. He had planned to return to Ole Miss for one more year. Ole Miss will appeal the decision. Chambliss took a redshirt his first season at Ferris State in 2021-22 and was held out his second season for medical reasons. He played two more seasons there before transferring to Ole Miss. Free agent outfielder Max Kepler has been suspended 80 games following a positive test for a banned performance-enhancing substance in violation of Major League Baseball's drug program. Kepler tested positive for epetrenbolone, a substance that led to a suspension in 2018 for boxer Manuel Char. An 11-year Major League veteran, Kepler spent last season with the Philadelphia Phillies. He played his first 10 seasons with the Minnesota Twins. Kepler accepted the suspension without contesting the discipline in a grievance, a person familiar with the process told the AP. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
A guidance document released by the EU on Monday gives instructions for Chinese electric vehicle makers on making price offers for EV exports, including minimum import prices and other details. The EU had imposed tariffs of over 35% on Chinese EV imports in 2024, following an anti-subsidy probe. The EU argues wide variations in the types of vehicles made it necessary to set specific minimum import prices, adding Chinese EV makers' plans for investments within the EU will also now be considered. The China Chamber of Commerce to the EU has welcomed the move. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Minnesota's Twin Cities is bracing for what many expect to be a new normal as the Department of Homeland Security carries out what it calls its largest enforcement operation ever. As agents continue to make arrests, protesters confronted federal agents and attempted to disrupt their operations as officers surrounded and stormed a house. Agents led the home's occupants away as angry protesters surrounded the yard, banging drums, honking horns, and blowing whistles. Minnesota's Democratic leaders are still pushing for transparency in the investigation into the shooting death of Renee Good, while Trump administration officials continue to dismiss complaints about local agencies being denied any participation in that investigation. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Myanmar will face charges it's responsible for genocide against the Rohingya ethnic minority at the International Court of Justice as long-awaited hearings are set to begin. The West African country of Gambia first filed the case at the UN court in 2019, arguing a so-called clearance operation by Myanmar's military in 2017 violated the 1948 Genocide Convention. Myanmar, which has since been taken over by the military, has denied the allegations. The Southeast Asian country launched the campaign in Rakhine State in 2017 after an attack by a Rohingya insurgent group. Security forces were subsequently accused of mass rapes, killings, and torching thousands of homes as more than 700,000 Rohingya fled into neighboring Bangladesh. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
There are only a few remaining Palestinian Bedouin villages in the central West Bank, and more than two dozen families in one village are packing up and fleeing. Hassan Mohammed says the harassment by Jewish settlers has become unbearable. The settler attacks. He comes and enters homes one by one, and there's no one to stop him or prevent him from entering. The area is part of the 60% of the West Bank that has remained under full Israeli control under interim peace accords signed in the 1990s. Since the war between Israel and Hamas erupted in October 2023, the Israeli rights group B'Tselem says dozens of Bedouin communities have been forced out by settler violence. The group is helping residents. Other Palestinians say they'll stay for now. B'Tselem says that makes them some of the last Palestinians left in the area. Rescuers in the central Philippines say they've detected signs of life following the collapse of a huge mound of garbage at a landfill. At least 4 workers are dead and more than 30 are still missing. 12 workers have been rescued since Thursday's collapse. Emerita Haynor is not as fortunate. She says, "My son is there. They already saw him and he was being retrieved. But his remains are still pinned down." Dozens of rescuers are racing against time to find more survivors, but they're working in dangerous conditions with rubble of iron bars and combustible heaps of garbage and debris. I'm Donna Water.
Dozens of masked men, dressed in black, armed with sticks, beat and injured a Palestinian man in the Israeli-occupied West Bank when they attacked a plant nursery. The attack is part of rising Israeli settler violence in the West Bank. 2 witnesses who are members of the family that owns the facility says Israeli settlers beat 67-year-old Basim Saleh Yassim as he was trying to flee the German-Palestinian-run nursery. He suffered broken bones in his hand and other injuries to his face, chest, and back. Workers fled when they saw settlers coming in the Thursday attack, but Yassin's family says that Yassin is deaf and could not hear the warnings to leave. The Israeli army says they have apprehended 3 suspects. The nursery has been attacked 3 times in the past year. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.